Big changes may be ahead for popular online services like Skype and WhatsApp. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. The Financial Times reports that new European Union rules could target online calling and messaging services like Skype and WhatsApp as soon as next month. The FT's Duncan Robinson joins us from Brussels via Skype, as it happens. Hello, Duncan.
Hi there.
So the message seems to be that if you're providing a service similar to what phone companies do, you may have to play by some of the rules that they also play by. What's driving this move toward potential new regulations for these services?
Well, this has been a long-standing complaint from telecoms companies who argue that they have to abide by strict rules, whereas companies such as Google and Facebook, who offer similar services such as voice calling and messaging, have more of a free rein because they're stuck in a regulatory grey area at the moment. And so this is the efforts of the European Commission to level the playing field, is the phrase they use.
Duncan, what does this mean for people who are using Skype or WhatsApp to have a cheap way to stay in touch with people around the world? I mean, we are doing this interview right now via Skype.
It's not going to change the interface, and the services will still be available in Europe. They'll still probably be free, and nothing will change from your day-to-day usage. But from a business perspective, this could cause a few headaches.
So let's talk about that. WhatsApp is part of Facebook. Microsoft owns Skype. What are the implications of these American companies coming under new regulations based in Europe?
The European Commission has warned that these over-the-top services are going to have to abide by EU policy on matters such as security and confidentiality. Now, this could mean a lot of things, but telecoms groups, for example, have to retain data on customers, and so potentially these sort of rules could apply to Microsoft and Facebook on their services as well, which could be a bit of an issue.
Okay, Duncan Robinson with the FT in Brussels. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks largely up around the world. The UK shares up 0.2%. In Germany, stocks are up 0.4%. Asian markets closed mostly up, though stocks are down in Japan. That follows new data showing Japan grew only 0.2% annually, below forecasts. Wall Street futures point to a higher open, and it's a big week for numbers. We'll get the latest on inflation tomorrow. There's also various data coming about home prices and construction. Plus, we've got several top Fed officials giving speeches and the minutes of the latest meeting out on Wednesday. Puerto Rico is struggling with sky-high unemployment and an ongoing debt crisis. Puerto Rico is a territory, but a lot of voters with Puerto Rican heritage live in battleground states. So questions about Puerto Rico's economy will matter in this election. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace looks at how this is playing out in the race.
More than a million Puerto Ricans live in Florida, and getting their votes takes some different tactics. This is a jingle from the organization Boricua Vota, which tries to get out the Puerto Rican vote in the Orlando area through cultural events and music. Activist Jimmy Torres says that presidential campaigns need to step up.
They have to understand the particularities of the people.
Meaning hire Puerto Ricans and address their concerns. Natasha Otero-Santiago with the National Puerto Rican Agenda says one big one is what's going on back home. An appointed federal board is overseeing a giant and controversial debt restructuring process.
Any political leader that wants the Puerto Rican vote from Florida needs to know that this is of importance to the Puerto Ricans.
She says who wins and loses economically in Puerto Rico could affect who turns out at the polls in the United States. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
After five officers were shot and killed in Dallas last month, the police chief urged citizens to step up and apply to join the force. Hundreds of applications poured in. The process takes time, including a civil service exam, interviews, and vetting. Christopher Connolly from KERA spent some time with new recruits who are on their way to becoming cops.
Hold up! Woo!
The morning starts at 7:55 on the dot. The recruits form neat rows in the parking lot, raise the flag, and report in. Then they drop to the ground and do push-ups.
Ready? Exercise! Uno, dos, tres!
Uno!
Uno, dos, tres!
Uno!
These 100 recruits are mostly men. They're racially diverse, like the city they'll serve. All of them started their training before the shootings that rocked Dallas.
You know, we were scared. I mean,
We're normal human beings. We're going to be scared.
Chelsea Montanino's class started just 1 week before the attack.
We didn't really know each other, but I felt like it really pushed us to come together as a, you know, as a family and as a team.
After the shooting, the recruits worked funerals for the fallen officers. Thousands in law enforcement from across the country attended. New recruit Brandon Barber says that helped him realize,
I'm not out here alone, that I have the support from my brothers and sisters from all around the nation.
Policing is a field in the middle of a fierce debate. Dallas-born Barber is African-American and says you can't judge all police by the actions of a few.
It doesn't define what policing actually is, but it's going to take us as a team, as a unit, as police officers, collectively to rebuild our reputation and rebuild trust and relationships back within our communities to where they're fighting with us instead of against us.
Dallas has struggled to retain officers, in part because of low pay. Still, Deputy Chief Jeff Kottner says these recruits enter the field at an exciting time.
It's a good time to make positive change. It's a good time in law enforcement to reflect upon what it is that they need to do and adhere to some good best practices and review everything that we do, make it better.
Kottner says his recruits will be ready to be that better police force when they go out on patrol. In Dallas, I'm Christopher Connolly for Marketplace.
And finally, Suicide Squad is still number one at the box office, but the comic book movie saw a big drop-off from the previous week, taking in $43.8 million. It's only about a third of what it made in its opening weekend, which is a possible sign that bad reviews and word of mouth may be taking their toll. Sausage Party and Pete's Dragon round out the top three. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.